WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The Vatican says the papal conclave to elect a successor to Pope Francis will begin Wednesday, May 7th. But the process may not conclude on May 7th, as ABC's Terry Moran explained from the Vatican.
Once all the cardinals have voted, the ballots are counted, read aloud, and noted. The votes are then burned in an iron stove at the end of a session. Black smoke signals that no one reached the two-thirds majority required to be elected. If that happens, the cardinals return to vote twice in the morning and twice in the evening.
In Florida, one person was killed, 12 others were hurt. They were on a ferry in Clearwater that was hit by another boat, which left the scene but has since been located. Congress is back in session today. Republicans say their priority is passing a budget bill by the end of May. President Trump's comments about Canada have become a key issue in that country's national election. Canadians today choosing a new prime minister. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection is accepting comments for a proposed special pesticide registration to control weeds in strawberry fields. The special registration proposed by DATCAP is for Stinger and Stinger HL herbicide, which are manufactured by Corteva Agrisciences, LLC. The proposed special registration for Stinger and Stinger HL comes as the pesticide manufacturer transitions through a formulation change of the product. The registration would allow for the use of Stinger or Stinger HL to control broadleaf weeds such as dandelion, Canada thistle, bull thistle, and perennial clovers. Strawberry growers would only be allowed to use a single application of either product in a growing season. No other herbicides are registered for use pre-harvest in strawberries to control these weeds. This is the fifth special registration for Stinger and Stinger HL for use on strawberries. The proposed registration will go through December 31, 2029. No reports of adverse effects were received during previous registrations. The preliminary environmental assessment indicates that the proposed registration will not require a full environmental assessment. Comments received on or before 4:30 today will become part of the preliminary environmental assessment record. Copies of the assessment can be requested, and public comments may be submitted by email to Alyssa Foss, alyssa.foss@wisconsin.gov. Explore the 10-year vision for the International Crane Foundation Tuesday at 3. Reflect on lessons learned from the past decade of conservation impact and scan the horizon for the most important opportunities and challenges in the decades ahead. Register for the online event at savingcranes.org. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
Another injury for Damian Lillard. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA playoffs. Last night in Milwaukee, the Bucks losing to the Pacers, 129-103, and they've likely lost Damian Lillard again. After missing 14 games due to a blood clot in his right calf muscle, today he goes in for an MRI to see if he suffered a torn Achilles tendon in his left leg. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Dealing with what he's dealing the whole year, then finding out about his calf, and then, you know, staying in shape, fighting through, being able to come back. I always had respect for Dame before we became teammates, but now my respect level is much higher.
Baseball yesterday in St. Louis, the Brewers' Christian Yelich, the designated hitter on FanDuel Wisconsin.
Yelich now 1-for-1, and a ground ball through the right side, another base hit. Two runs are in. The Brewers have scored a touchdown against the Cardinals in St. Louis.
Brewers went on to win 7-1. The Packers going back to work today after drafting 8 new players over the weekend. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be very warm today with strong to severe thunderstorms likely this afternoon into this evening. Hail, wind, and tornadoes are all possible. It's very important that you stay weather aware today. Be prepared and have a way to get warnings and information. Stay tuned for updates. We'll have them for you. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
David Hogg, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair, says, no, we're going to spend $20 million to take out fellow Democrats who are either too old or not voting progressive enough. And Republicans are doing this as well. They don't want any compromise, zero-sum game. I spent 30 years in politics. The best politics are pragmatic. You get 75% of the loaf and you move on.
Catch The Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Civic Media. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. 7:06. Nice to have you here on a Monday morning, April 28th. It is a dark and stormy morning across parts of Wisconsin, and so we're going to start right away with meteorologist Brittany Merlot, and then we'll get back to Kristen Lyerly, Selena Heller, Greg Bach. But Brittany, let's kick things off with you, because what's going through central and northern Wisconsin right now, this is just the appetizer of what is yet to come coming up today.
It really is. It's just going to wake you up a little bit, some rumbles of thunder, maybe some small hail, and some downpours on occasion. Of course, that's through central Wisconsin, headed towards the Fox Valley now. And this is the warm front lifting through the state. I mean, we've got nice temperatures already in the low 60s off west, even up north and down south. If you got the rain, it's in the 40s right now. So what we're looking at this afternoon is the perfect atmosphere for thunderstorms to spark up, become severe very rapidly, and they could produce some strong tornadoes, large hail, damaging winds, and also some heavy, heavy downpours, where we're at least looking at an inch of rainfall rolling through the state this afternoon and evening. And we've got not only the round of tornado storms that could spark up this afternoon, but also a line moving through later on this evening that could have some storms and tornadoes embedded in there, hidden in rain. And as those roll through in that line, about 70-mile-per-hour wind gusts are possible, hail as well. So we've got a lot to prepare for. Multiple rounds of storms headed our way. Again, I think from about 3 to 4-ish, some of these strong ones will start to spark in southwestern parts of the state, rolling in towards the central area, and hopefully starting to weaken as they move east and towards Lake Michigan this evening. But of course, stay weather savvy. I just want to make sure everyone has a way to get a warning, even if you're asleep, because this line tonight could come through about 10, maybe even to midnight into some places like Madison. So I've got a NOAA weather radio that kind of goes off. It'll wake me up in case my phone isn't loud enough. And I've got a lot of things too, like flashlights, different stuff ready to go, taking shelter in the lowest level, interior room, things like that. You definitely want to have the plan in place now. Don't panic. Just have a plan in case you're in this situation, because the situation could unfold rather quickly. And of course, when you're in a panic mode, you kind of forget things. So just practice your plan. Know what to do. Make sure everybody's in the loop. Make sure your friends, your family, everybody knows to stay aware this evening.
Yeah. And look, we all who have cell phones, you know, we play with the notifications. Sometimes we turn them off or on for this or that. Today would be a good day at looking at what is your particular weather app or whatever it is that you want to use. And if you normally have the notifications off, turn them on for today and tonight, because that one might really be the one that affects you and you want to know all about it. Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. It is cloudy with a thunderstorm, 45 degrees. It was a great weekend. I got some yard work done, watched the NFL draft. Green Bay did an excellent job. He says, I've got my cell phone and my iPad staying charged. He sent us a note about how they covered tornadoes with, you know, people using their phones to call into radio stations back in the 1960s. And Alicia writes in, orange sunrise here in Seymour. As my dad always used to say, orange in the morning, sailors take warning. And
I was going to say that. Yes, I noticed that this morning too, Alicia. It was kind of an eerie vibe because you knew, you know, tonight is just going to be bad.
Yeah, and we mentioned the you know the humidity and the warmth, and so I think everybody has that. I mean, we don't all have like our left knee feels a certain way when it's going to get stormy. You know, not everybody's like right. that, but there are definitely some conditions where almost everybody you go outside and you go, oh yeah, this feels like something's off. You know,
it sure does. And don't let the sunshine fool you. We are going to see spots of sunshine. It is going to be nice at some points this afternoon, but that right there is the perfect mixture and fuel for these storms to get so strong. So don't be fooled.
And Rob Concur says that even with the thunderstorm in Tigerton, there's an orange sunrise out there as well. So forewarned is forearmed. So thank you, Brittany, very much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it as always. Let's talk a bit more about the NFL draft because Dr. Lyerly was there. It was right there in her backyard, essentially. And Selina Heller made the drive all the way over, cramming a kid's bike in the car. Not for her, although she probably could get away with it, but there was, what, a bike parade that Emory could take part in over there? What was the story there?
Oh, my goodness, yes. So my friend Aaron Kotenberg, Kurt Kotenberg, used to work at the station over here. So we talked Friday night, and she said, there's a bike parade, and the kids can be in it. And so I crammed the bike in the car at like midnight. We left here at 3:30 in the morning and we drove to Green Bay because, you know, that's the coolest tradition that the kids can participate in during Packers training camp. It goes back to, oh my gosh, what, 1958. So it's the coolest thing. So we got there and walked a long ways. And then got to the stadium and 250 kids were in this bike parade riding into Lambeau. And it was the coolest thing. And let's see, there are Packers alumni, Nick Barnett, Tremont Williams, Nick Collins joined the parade also. Let's see who else. Packers CEO Mark Murphy, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, they led the parade and we drove right into the draft stage. And so it was pretty cool.
Was there anything said about the unusually tall blonde kid that was riding her bike somewhere near the back? Kristen, of course, is pointing at herself. Yes.
Were you in the bike parade?
Perfect. I was not, but I love that they do this. And if you've ever had the opportunity to see it during training camp, it is one of the most enlightening, uplifting things, especially to see these new players who are new to the community and suddenly they find themselves riding a child's bike and and walking with their parents and having these conversations and looking at the media. It just really, it screams community. It's beautiful.
It really does.
I was trying to explain it all to Emery, you know, she, you know, it's like, okay, I'm riding my bike and that's just fun enough for her. Uh-huh. But I had to explain and how it was so cool. And I've always wanted you to do this, but it was a very cold morning. So that was kind of a factor into the morning also. So all the kids were a little cold, but it was fun.
But, you know, again, you've got a memory there. You know,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's the nice thing about it. Hey, just to change the subject briefly, I'd normally mention what's in our daily newsletter here. You can sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. Well, the newsletter happens to mention that it is time to start getting ready for farmers markets. They will be, popping up around the state, the ones that aren't, you know, there all the time. And there includes a link to a handful of farmers markets that are so popular that you should put them on your bucket list, maybe for a road trip. Selina, you are no stranger to the Eau Claire farmers market, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, we love the farmers market. And, you know, I think farmers markets evolve into just like community events now because ours here in Eau Claire, it's under the Pavilion in Phoenix Park, and they've added like an artist market and entertainment and balloons and just so many different things, music some days. And they're just, really events, community gatherings, something fun to do on a Saturday morning. So yeah, they're so much fun to get out to. We try to get there a lot.
Kristen, you have multiple markets that you go to, or is there just one standard one that you like to stop in at?
Green Bay has a wonderful market on Saturday mornings. I came from Madison, and the Madison Farmers Market is just off the charts. Oh, yeah. And I didn't think that Green Bay was going to be able to compare, but they do. And they have another one on Wednesday nights on the other side of the river. So Green Bay doesn't mess around when it comes to farmers markets. Highly encouraged, even if you're a farmers market snob like me.
Farmers market wow. snob like Kristen.
Well, now I want you to come down to Kenosha and check out our farmers market, because I think it starts outdoor next weekend or the week after that. And I will just say this. Every Saturday, you can pet some puppies.
There's
a pet rescue who comes every single week, and they always have anywhere between 4 to 6 puppies, and they're ready to go. My wife tells me every Saturday they're ready to go.
Get some coffee, a pastry, maybe some meat, and pet a puppy. You're good.
There you go.
Yeah. Sounds like a nice lineup. How did things go over the weekend with the Dr. Kristen Lyerly show? You had Patrick McBride on.
Oh, Dr. Pat McBride, he's a preventive cardiologist. He's the former dean of students at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. And we talked about NIH funding, how the cuts in funding are affecting the university, not just these research studies, like a handful of research studies, but really undermining the purpose of the university at its core. You know, if you know about the Wisconsin idea means that the University of Wisconsin is where the ideas are generated, but that goes out into the community. And in the community, through your extension offices, they bring those ideas back to the university to do the studies. It's this big holistic thing that benefits every single person here in Wisconsin, and it's all at risk because of these cuts in NIH funding. So that's what we mostly talked about, but we definitely had to get into some Wisconsin sports as well. And he shared some fond memories of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Junior Bridgman. Got a little tearful.
So you'll be doing this again next Saturday, based out of the Green Bay Civic Media radio station.
Yeah, next Saturday, we're going to talk with Sheboygan Mayor Ryan Sorensen and some other folks from the Sheboygan area. We're going to be talking about what's happening with childcare and how it doesn't just affect families who need childcare right now, but it affects entire communities. So that's going to be a really interesting conversation from lots of different perspectives.
Okay, so look over at the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, to learn a bit more about that. Hey, Selena, you mentioned talking to the curator of the Packers Hall of Fame, somebody that you knew from your Black River Falls backyard. And so I thought we've got just enough time to maybe hear a clip about some of the draft stuff there. Can you set that up?
Sure. Yeah. Brent Hensel is from Black River Falls, and we went to high school together. And I thought, oh my gosh, what a great time to talk to Brent about the museum and all the things going on there. So let's see. Do you want to hear that now, Pat?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Set that up. What are we going to hear?
All right. I think, let's see, the first time he talks about, what did we talk about first?
You know what? We'll play it, and then you can tell us what we heard.
All right.
Hit it, Greg.
I'm always thinking about the history and long term. So one of the things I got to do this week was go through the NFL stage in the green room. It was well before the draft. I wasn't anywhere near there during the draft. But we got to request certain things, like huge banners and like a phone from the green room. And then 10 years from now or 20 years from now, if we will look back at this moment when Green Bay hosted the draft, we will have artifacts. So working on getting stuff, trying to get Mark Murphy's speech that when he read off his notes from the first night. So that's one of the things I do. Like and Lambeau Field now is hosting more and more events that aren't necessarily football. Like we had a soccer match a few years ago. We've had the Badgers. So I'm always trying to collect, because you never know what you might turn into an exhibit in the future.
That's true. You got to be ready for everything there from Brent. So that's what he had to say, Selena, just in case you were wondering.
That's what we were talking about. Okay. I didn't know which one was first. So yes, Packers go back 105 years. So Brent has a big job of saving all of that history, and he wanted to save things from the draft too for people later, right, like he said. So that was pretty neat. And then we talked about...
We'll talk more about it in a little bit. Let's take a break here. Still to come, we have a former head of the U.S. Forest Service coming on to talk about President Trump opening up national forests to more commercial logging. We'll have more live from Chippewa Falls. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
David Hogg, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair, says, no, we're going to spend $20 million to take out fellow Democrats who are either too old or not voting progressive enough. And Republicans are doing this as well. They don't want any compromise, zero-sum game. I spent 30 years in politics. The best politics are pragmatic. You get 75% of the loaf and you move on.
Catch The Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is our time to talk about GRACE, Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination. We have in the studio Walk Chair June Nee, along with Eileen Stevens, President, and Alan Kashubsky is here as well. He's a member of the GRACE Committee and looking at the upcoming Race for GRACE, which isn't very far away. We'll start with June today. June, as Walk Chair, you've got some busy things. It's a busy month of May, isn't it?
Yes. Good morning, Phil. Yes, we have kickoff coming up in May, so we're really excited to officially get Walk with Grace kicked off. That will be on Thursday night, May 15th, at the Richland Community Center. And we're going to have a free will offering pancake supper, which the doors will open about 4:30. And the supper will include pancakes, sausage links, some warm cherries, applesauce, and a beverage. And the Kiwanis Club of Richland Center is providing this as a community service for Grace. So we want to thank them so very much for that. And if you haven't had their pancake suppers before, they're really good. Come on out and join us. And this is a night where we want our teams to come and register. The amount for that is still $150. We've not changed that. And we'll invite our teams to register and then pick up their packets. They can pick up luminaries, calendar raffle tickets. They can pick up tickets for the car raffle and pick their team site. So lots of stuff going on that night.
Definitely. And I think that overshadowing maybe the supper, but that's always a free will offering. And we'll hope a lot of people, maybe even if they're not going to be involved in Grayson and have a team, it's a nice night to stop out, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. The public is welcome to join us, and anybody can come and enjoy that really yummy supper. So, yeah, please come on out and join us. And if you're thinking about having a team or you just want to learn more about Grace, it's a great night to do that. We're also going to have a little program about kind of around 6 p.m. We'll see kind of how our crowd is. But that's the night that we will be introducing our four ambassadors for the year of 2025. So we're really excited about that. And we had, I think, about 8 nominations. So it was really tough to get down to 4. Every one of them were, we were just honored to have them nominated. Wish we could have all of them, but we are down to 4. And so we're really excited to announce our ambassadors that night as well.
You're not going to give us a morning show exclusive here. We got to wait till the kickoff.
No morning show exclusive. So, but yeah, it'll be a, you know, kind of a short program. We're going to have some of the other chairs speak. Rob Renish for our registration chair is going to give an update on the packets and go through. And then I think other committee chairs like Eric Renish from logistics may speak. So we'll have a few of those. And then I believe Alan Kazupski is going to be speaking about the Race for Grace that night too.
Yeah, that week will kick off, and then you get right in. I mean, there's always been some fundraisers going all the way along, but it's going to be really nice to get that going, and then 2 days later have 2 big events on the same day, right?
Yes, that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to that Saturday with Race for Grace that morning, and then get all dressed up and go to the quilt gala that night. So yeah, it's a busy kickoff for Grace, that's for sure.
Teams, that's the night when they actually register and get their packets. And commonly, do you have, you know, does it require a number of members of the team? Can you just have one or two or whatever?
No, there's no requirement for a number. I've been on teams over the years where, you know, I had my own family team and been on WRCO teams where, you know, we only had maybe 5-10 people. It really doesn't matter. If you're want to register and have a team, it doesn't matter how many, just come and join us. And it's just a lot of fun the night of the walk to have your team there and be a part of it.
So the theme again this year, could you go over that for us?
Yes, our theme is Cancer, get up, get up, get out of here. And that's kind of in memory of Bob Uecker. And so the colors will be blue this year. So it's, I like that one. It's pretty good. We had a couple of really good ideas floating around, and that one was the most popular. So,
and the t-shirts are going to be quite festive, it sounds like.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. There'll be a blue color. Depends on, you know, what's available, but I think we'll try to get it, you know, close to the Brewers colors. And then our raffle tickets will be like a yellow color. So, yeah, I think it's it'll be a lot of fun this year, kind of that baseball theme.
And then from there, that's the important one. But then what are the next steps after that as you get ready for the walk in August?
Yes, we have kickoff in May, and then we'll have our T-shirt order night in June. And I don't know that date offhand. And then in July will be T-shirt pickup. And then in August 6th, that's a Wednesday night, at the Phoenix Center, we will have our Survivor Captain's Night. And that's when teams will bring their packets and turn them in because if they want their luminaries and to go into the recording and be read, they must turn those in that night. You can turn luminaries in at the walk, but that is to, they will make sure that they're in on the video that Nova Video will do, and also to be on the radio for reading the name. So then we have that. There will be a free will offering pizza dinner that night, and we'll also have speakers from Gunderson and the UW Carbone.
Plans are being made for the radio auction again. If somebody would like to contribute or help out or donate, things are underway, right?
Yep. We'll get letters out soon, and then we'll be, I believe there's already donations coming in. I think Eileen's going to touch on that a little bit, but yeah, if you want to donate, we'd like to have those donations in by July 10th. If you want to donate a basket or an item, that would be very much appreciated.
For the kickoff night, then, if somebody is not a member of a team or a committee or whatever, you still could always use some help, I'm guessing, setting up and tearing down, right?
Yeah, we'll always take volunteers. We like to help set up. The Kiwanis Club is so generous with their time. We want to make sure we have plenty of help there for them. So we help set up, and then a lot of us are help serving whatever they need us to do, and then we stay and make sure we clean up and take care of everything.
News from the Center, WRCE. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The conversation between farms and their agriculture lenders. It gets even more interesting when multiple generations are involved. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Jack Kaisel has seen it all. He is with the Anthony Cole Training Group, and he says he's working very closely with ag lenders across the United States to help them understand the generational difference in how people think about lending. For example, Kaisel says younger generations tend to think that nothing's ever going to happen, and older groups thinks everything's going to happen. He explains.
The newer folks, they don't, everybody thinks, okay, nothing's going to happen to me, it's going to happen to somebody else. And so risk is not that big of a thing to them because it's never going to happen to them. And what we need to do is, when we're having communication with these people, is just make sure that we're telling things that they need to hear and not what they want to hear. The older group you're working with, they're going to be more open to succession planning and transition. The younger folks think they have another 40, 50 years to do this. And there's no such thing as starting your succession planning too soon.
Jack Kaisel with the Anthony Cole Training Group talking about the relationship that bankers need to keep in mind when it comes to how they're servicing their farm clients. Direction in the markets this morning means those conversations between you and your banker are becoming even more critical. Numbers are next.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our base light product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Base light also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves are easy to drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about base light at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
On Friday, barrel cheese was up a penny and a half, had 170 and a half. 40-pound block cheese was unchanged. AA butter dropped 4.5 cents to 228 a pound. The May Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is down a penny this morning, 1826. May corn's down 4, December new crop down 4 at 451. May beans down a nickel, November new crop down 6.5 at 1028. And July wheat's down 7 at 537. I'm Pam Yonke.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be very warm today with strong to severe thunderstorms likely this afternoon into this evening. Hail, wind, and tornadoes are all possible. It's very important that you stay weather aware today. Be prepared and have a way to get warnings and information. Stay tuned for updates. We'll have them for you. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future? And what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that?
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. The Todd Albaugh Show.
David Hogg, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair, says, no, we're going to spend $20 million to take out fellow Democrats who are either too old or not voting progressive enough. And Republicans are doing this as well. They don't want any compromise, zero-sum game. I spent 30 years in politics. The best politics are pragmatic. You get 75% of the loaf and you move on.
Catch The Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Tom Paulswitz joins me in the guest host seat. We dig into Judge Hannah Dugan's arrest. What is going on here?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Did you know that parts of the Shawamagon-Nicolet National Forest up north are under an emergency designation? It sounds serious, right? It's not really. It's a shortcut that the Trump administration is using to short-circuit proper forest management and to fast-track commercial logging on more than 100 million acres of national forest land across the country. It has led to an open letter about concerns from six different former leaders of the U.S. Forest Service, and we have one of them here this morning. Dave Bombeck served as chief of the United States Forest Service from 1997 to 2001. He also served as acting director of the Bureau of Land Management, making him the only person to have led the nation's two largest public land management agencies. Mike has described himself as a combat biologist, due to his battles with other agencies and officials who were more concerned with road building and engineering than environmental conservation. That doesn't make him some kind of extremist. Rather, he earned a reputation for crafting partnerships and policies that integrated science and economics to manage federal lands in the long-term public interest. Not bad for a guy who got to start working as a fishing guide for 11 summers near Hayward. We're also joined by Joe Hovell, who's been involved in sustainable forestry and conservation for decades. He chairs the Partners in Forestry Cooperative. He heads land conservation for the Northwood Alliance Incorporated and was the main author of their handbooks. He is consistently invited to give presentations at the Ottawa National Forest Visitor Center in Watersmeet, Michigan. So Joe Hovell and Dave Bombeck, good morning to both of you. Thank you, Joe, for being here. Nice to see you.
Thank you, Pat. We're happy to be on.
Yep. And Dave, you're on joining us by phone, correct?
Yes, this is Mike, yes.
Or Mike, I'm sorry, Mike. Let me ask first about what it is that this emergency declaration is that led to this letter of concern by former heads of the National Forest Service. Mike, tell us more about that.
Well, it was really about two things. Number one, concern about people and concern about land. First of all, 3,400 probationary employees of the Forest Service across the country were fired with about one day notice. And the word probation is a bit misleading because probationary employees are often employees that are veterans that have worked as seasonals. Many have many summers of experience, or many are trained EMTs, they're trained first responders, they're trained in chainsaw safety, typical people that, you know, fight fires, go out west, or wherever they're needed. So, number one, abusive treatment of local employees, and these are people that live in small towns like Hayward and Park Falls and Rhinelander and Eagle River, places like that. So that was the primary concern, is the way the employees were treated without any basically humanity of thinking, you know, these are young families with child care expenses, with house payments, depending upon health insurance. And that's initially what's concerned us.
Well, not to mention then what it's going to do for the folks who would use our national forests and other facilities. And we've heard about the layoffs that are affecting national parks as well. So this is something that's going to be noticed by far more than just all of these fired workers, right?
Absolutely. Well, we've got not only the fired probationary employees, but the reduction of another 5,000 or more employees across the country, basically about a third of the workforce. And again, these are people that live in small towns and communities for the most part. This isn't reducing the size of a workforce in Washington, D.C. But some of the services that we won't see, we've got an executive order calling for a 25% increase in timber harvest. Well, who's going to do the work? Who's going to lay out the timber sales? Who's going to do what is typically done if so many people are laid off? Plus potential campground closures, even though the directive from on high has been to keep campgrounds open. You've got things like, pumping toilets, emptying garbage cans that people don't often think of. And again, this sort of hurts the little guy because people that use these campgrounds are typically more local. They can't afford cruises. They need an inexpensive vacation. And they drive, 50 miles, 100 miles on a lake and fish and spend time with their families. And those services just won't be there like they have been in the past. Plus, many of these employees are, EMTs. They're first responders. That's the way they've been trained. And they're part of their local volunteer fire department. So it's very far-reaching, far beyond what meets the eye.
Yeah, and Joe, let's bring you into this as well, because you certainly shared your thoughts on, Partners in Forestry Cooperative and Northern Alliance and, some of your concerns about national forests. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
As you show on the screen, Pat, I wonder how many people realize the impact that national forests have on the lives of ordinary Americans. My top line shows that over 900 cities rely on national forest watersheds for their clean water. Let's think of Denver, Portland, Little Rock, Helena, Oakland, Salt Lake City, for example. The average annual value of timber from national forests in the past 20 years is about $330 million, but the value of water from these same lands exceeds $3.8 billion. And over 65 million Americans depend on national forests for their water. Two-thirds of all wild and scenic rivers are on national forest lands. And a point that I'll add there are some wild and scenic rivers in the Ottawa National Forest in the Upper Peninsula, and those rivers start in Wisconsin. They start right here in the Border Lakes region in Vilas and Iron Wisconsin.
And let me take things back over to you, Mike, and say that for people that are hearing these concerns and saying, well, this is just a bunch of, radical environmentalist tree huggers, and they want nothing to happen with the forest. They want it to return to its primeval form when there's all of this, economic potential in there. I don't actually hear anybody talking like that. Sustainable forestry practices as a part of the national and the Wisconsin economy have always been the situation here. This isn't, you're not looking for some otherwise radical agenda, right, Mike?
That's exactly right, Pat. The for example, on the Shawamigan and Nicolet, the average timber harvest a few decades ago was from 80 to 90 million board feet, and a board foot takes about 15,000 board feet to build the average single-family home. That's been gradually increasing over the last couple of decades to now in the neighborhood of 110 to 120 million board feet. So those values are out there, and they will continue to be out there as long as we harvest timber in a sustainable way. And the thing to keep in mind is the congressional mandate is under the Multiple Use Sustained Yield Act that puts all resources on an equal plane. And, we've got to share. There's not enough to go around for everybody to have all of what they want. So, and that's, in a sense, is a challenge. The agency does have a tough mandate, but it's recreation. It's about water. It's about hunting and fishing. It's about trails. It's about timber harvest. It's about mining in some places. Out west, it's about grazing. So there's this whole array of interests. And to, for the administration to focus solely on one interest at the expense of others, this is really what we have to think about. So this is not a radical approach at all. This is a very balanced, in my view, conservative approach, because it largely maintains the status quo and keeps options open for the future. You know, once you increase timber harvest vastly, you're basically moving into a situation where you cut it today, it's going to take, 50, 100 years before that cycle is going to come around again. So we have to maintain an even keel on this stuff.
Yeah, it just seems there seems a parallel, and I don't know if it's apples to apples or not, but what we often heard Donald Trump saying about, drill, baby, drill, so that we can have American energy dominance. Well, we already are. We already are a dominant exporter of oil, so to drill more, these are things that, some of the companies might not want to do. They might not have the labor force to do that. And now it seems like we're saying something similar with the forest of, you just outlined all these local ways that the local and the state economy benefit, as opposed to the Trump approach seems to be just bring in a bunch of multinational companies, to increase their forestry. That's assuming they even want to and have the capacity to do that. It just does not seem to be the kind of sustainable plan that was already in place, Mike.
Well, that's right on. For example, the last four or five timber sales that have been put up in the western side of the Shawamigan have been no bid sales. So the demand for that product really isn't even there. So it almost seems as though this executive order came under the guise of reducing imports from Canada, which we all want to be as sustainable locally as we possibly can, but with really little knowledge of what was going on locally and really little concern about long-term sustainability. When we look at forests, we're talking, not 2 and 4 year election cycles or 10 and 20 year economic cycles. We're talking about centuries. We started out with 16 million acres of forest in Wisconsin a few centuries ago of old growth. Now we have less than 16,000 acres out of the 16 million. So, we need to be looking at how do we restore the forest? How do we maintain the productivity for the long haul for all resources? And this includes timber harvest and prescribed fire and thinning and fuel treatments and all that it takes to keep people safe and the forest productive and the water clean and places for tourists to enjoy the outdoors with their families.
Right. And Joe, it just sounds a lot more like this is more about privatization and selling off land that belongs to all Americans, essentially to make a buck.
That is our concern, Pat. And as I said in the bottom of the graphic, if we as a nation are unwilling to respect and protect this common treasure, this is a treasure that all Americans hold equally, that we will need no defense department, as we have already doomed ourselves.
We're talking to Joe Hovel here. He is with Partners in Forestry Cooperative and Northwoods Alliance, and Mike Dombeck, who is the former head of the U.S. Forest Service. He and other former heads of the U.S. Forest Service have written a letter about the Trump administration's plans for national forests, for commercial logging. And again, as we've said previously, when it comes to drilling for oil, this was not necessarily what anybody was looking for, and certainly not a healthy practice. It may sound like it on its face. Donald Trump may try to try to sell it as such, but as you're hearing here from Joe and from Mike, that is most certainly anything but the case. Now, coming up in our 8 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to Senator Kelda Royce about her bill that would remove politicians' roadblocks to women's abortion care rights. And Sean O'Malley will help us understand what we can do with our personal finances in this time of what I would call Trump-tastic uncertainty. Remember, you can follow what we do over at UpNorthNewsWI.com. And, of course, what we do right here mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Get ready for a flavor explosion at Utter Brothers Creamery in Boscobel. From crispy cheese curds to juicy cheeseburgers, every bite is a delight. You won't want to miss the hot ham and cheese or the classic BLT. Feeling adventurous? Grab some corn dog nuggets or mini tacos for a fun twist. And for those who love a crunch, don't forget about the crispy chicken sandwich and onion rings. Utter Brothers Creamery has something for everyone. Call 608-391-3120 to learn more and come on in for a tasty treat.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
David Hogg, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair, says, no, we're going to spend $20 million to take out fellow Democrats who are either too old or not voting progressive enough. And Republicans are doing this as well. They don't want any compromise, zero-sum game. I spent 30 years in politics. The best politics are pragmatic. You get 75% of the loaf and you move on.
Catch The Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Check out my war plans.
Pete Hegseth talking about first big strike against the Houthis in Yemen on Signal, two separate channels. Yes, the one you heard about before with the reporter on it. Oops-a-daisy. And now also his wife, his bro, and his lawyer who magically got hired by the Pentagon. This guy's judgment could not be worse. Do you think Hegseth should probably resign?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wrce.fm/contest-terms. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
It is our time to talk about GRACE, Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination. Alan Kashubsky is here as well. Alan, things are moving right along. In fact, you've been coming here every month, and this is the last morning show before your walk or your race for GRACE then, right?
Yeah, it's hard to believe, Phil. But before we talk about the race, I'm telling you, I'm getting hungry for pancakes for supper.
Sounds good just talking about it, doesn't it?
Maybe we could have a competition that night to see how many pancakes we could eat.
Now, that's the one competition that I could get involved in. I don't have to move. Sounds good to me. But, things are kind of in place then for the 17th then, right?
Yes. It's looking really solid. May 17th, we've got the Race for Grace. This is our second year doing it, so we're really excited about it. You know, we're not quite experts yet, but we're a little smarter than last year. So we got a lot of good things going. For those of you that haven't heard about it yet, just let me review a couple things. So on May 17th, we're going to have the Race for Grace at the Dr. Killian Meyer Building, which is right by the Richland Center Community Center. And at 7:30 in the morning, we'll have the 1 mile. And for that 1 mile run or walk, we'll also have the Firefighters Challenge. And right now we have seven teams signed up that are going to be wearing their firefighter gear, doing that 1 mile, or their police gear, because we have a team from the Richland County Sheriff's Department and a team from the Richland Center Police Department joining our firefighter team. So we're really excited about that. I know they've been egging each other on a little bit and to see who's going to be fastest. So we'll find out, because we're going to chip time them. So we'll get the official results that morning, but they'll all be winners and we'll be cheering them on, you know, no matter who comes in first or last. It's going to be a lot of fun. So after that 1 mile, at 8 o'clock that morning, we're going to have our 10K runners start, and that will be a run. And then at 8:10, we have a quarter mile run for the kids. And that was a blast last year. You know, we had when you get to see those young kids wearing a race bib and they've got their running shirts on and hopefully going the right direction, it's a lot of fun. And then at 8:30, we have our last event for that morning, and it'll be our 5K starting off.
Mm-hmm. So you got it tapered pretty well, it sounds like, where people can be there at the finish line to cheer people on and then send the next group off then.
Yeah, absolutely. So we tried to change up the order from last year. You know, we tried to space it out a little bit more to avoid the, you know, people running into each other, you know, trying to get around each other for that, you know, for our fast people, wanting those good times, and tried to remove some of those bottlenecks for everyone.
Okay. And what about the course, Alan? Is it the same as last year?
So that's a great question, and it's close to the same as last year. But if you go to walkwithgrace.com and go to and then click the first button on there to talk about the race, you'll find a link on the race site then for the maps. We have the maps out there for each of the events. But they're very close. So if you did it last year, they're very close. The only big difference is that we're not able to go on the UW campus grounds this year.
Okay. But kind of in the same direction then, right?
Yeah.
It's going to kind of loop around.
And yep. So the 10K kind of goes up into Allison Park and then comes back and then goes out to the Richland Center High School. And the 5K just kind of goes out to the Richland Center High School. And the 1 mile, we just keep that right in Crescut Park, which is really nice.
Initially, are you getting pretty good response online from people registering?
We are. It's been great. We're ahead of last year. We're hoping to grow it a little more yet. You know, we'd like to see people continually to register. And about that, you can still register online at walkwithgrace.com. Or you can come to the Grace office when we're open to register in person. Or you can pick up a registration sheet at Simon's Recreation Complex. They have them at the front desk as well. But we want people, if you want a T-shirt, it's very important that you register before May 1st. We have to submit our T-shirt order on May 1st. So everyone that registers before May 1st will be guaranteed a T-shirt and a swag bag full of goodies. And we're just so grateful for all the businesses that have been sponsoring us, whether it's something in the swag bag or the T-shirt sponsorships, and our start-finish line. Jewel Associates Engineers is sponsoring our start-finish line this year. So we're just overwhelmed by all the support.
How much is the entry fee?
Great question, Phil.
And now you're putting me on the spot.
No warning at all.
Well, I was going to say is, no matter what the entry fee is, you're probably going to get it back in your swag bag, the way it sounds, because you have a lot of goodies in there, don't
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. There's a lot of great things there. But thankfully, thanks to that great website at walkwithgrace.com, I can look up the registration fees.
That was quick.
Yes, very fast. So for the kids race, it's $20. For the 1 mile, it's $25. For the 5K, it's $35. And for the 10K, it's $45.
That's very good. June, you've been in a number of races. That's pretty reasonable, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. That's very reasonable. And for a great cause.
I think that hopefully people will jump at the chance here, right? And last year, it was so impressive to see families and grandpas and grandmas and pushing strollers, and that makes it a really nice race event, doesn't it?
It was. It was really neat. We had such a wide range of people. We had wide range of abilities. You know, I saw some people that the 1 mile was a real challenge for them, and they made it, and you could see how grateful they were for making it. I know that there are people that the 5K was a challenge for them. And then we have our real runners that are doing the 10K and just knocking the times off. It's just amazing. But, you know, in the 5K, I saw families with strollers as well. So it was just such a wonderful mix. What I saw constantly, though, were a lot of people smiling and having a great time, which was wonderful.
So May 1st is the deadline to get a T-shirt, but then if you register like the day of the event, there's still some opportunities too, correct?
Yeah, so we will get a few extra shirts because we learned from last year, too, that there's definitely a few procrastinators out there, and we want to, you know, try to be nice to some of them, but there will be very limited sizes, so we'll order a few extra of the common sizes.
Alan Koshubsky, Eileen.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The White House touting events this week to mark 100 days of President Trump's second term. But his approval rating sits at 39%, with about 70% of people in the ABC News Washington Post poll saying they believe a recession is at least somewhat likely. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent told ABC.
The surveys may say that, but consumers are still spending. So I prefer to look at what Americans are doing rather than how they're answering pollsters.
Congress returns from recess today. Republicans say their goal is to pass a budget bill by the end of May. President Trump's comments about Canada have become a big issue in today's national election across Canada as Vancouver mourns the 11 people killed when a vehicle plowed through a Filipino cultural festival Saturday. One person died, 12 were hurt when a boat crashed into a ferry off Clearwater, Florida last night. And Spain and Portugal racked by power outages right now, millions in the dark. This is ABC News.